Amen. That was good singing. We appreciate that. Take your Bibles, if you would. And let's open the Word of God tonight to Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21. As our custom has been, we're going to read through this chapter, but in the message, we will also go into the next few chapters. We'll cover up to and through verse chapter 24. And of course, all of this is good. These chapters here in the latter part of Proverbs are somewhat repetitive in their topics and themes, and so we'll consolidate a few of those tonight. Proverbs 21, if you found your place, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll have prayer begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read the first 5 verses. I'll let you be seated after that, and we'll continue reading the chapter. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we come to you tonight with just rejoicing hearts. Lord, we're thankful for the wonderful day that we've had. Lord, for the good services this morning, the good fellowship afterwards. Lord, it just does our hearts good to be able to take time for one another and enjoy the company of good Christian friends and the fellowship of the saints. We pray, Lord, tonight that you'd bless the reading of your word, that you'd use it in our hearts and lives. Lord, that you would teach us, give us instruction and wisdom. Lord, help apply these things to us, that we might grow in our understanding, Lord, and have knowledge of the things you'd have us do. Lord, show us how we might use these in our everyday life, and we pray you'd teach us as we read through the book. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, verse 1, Proverbs 21, and we're reading verses 1 through 5. Notice the Bible says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but out of everyone that is hasty, only to want." So I'm just going to take a theme from these verses. I want you to notice some of these expressions. The king's heart. The verse 2, every way of man. Then in verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent. We're just talking about people and their reactions. And so I want to preach a message tonight on Proverbs 21 entitled "People's Reaction to Proverbs." People's reaction to Proverbs. Thank you. You may be seated. And then we'll continue reading through the chapter in verses 6 and 7, and I'll have you read with me on verse 8. Verses 6 and 7, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment." Verse 8, ready? "The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right." Verses 9 and 10, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes." Verse 11, ready? "When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge." Verses 12 and 13. "The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Verse 14. Ready? "A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath." Verses 15 and 16. "It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that worketh out of the way," the "man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." Verse 17. Ready? "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Verses 18 and 19, "The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." Verse 20, ready? There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Verses 21 and 22. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Verse 23. Ready? Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Verses 24 and 25. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Verse 26. Ready? He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Verses 27 and 28. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. Verse 29. Ready? A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Verses 30 and 31. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And how true that is. Boy, God is over all. Thank the Lord for that. All right, we're going back to the beginning. We said we were looking at people's reaction to Proverbs. So tonight, this is not real deep, but it's very practical. And we're going to look at some of these Proverbs and see some of the responses that have been given. Some of these things will come to mind as we get through. First of all, we want to notice that there's, I believe, three that I want to share tonight. Three responses to Proverbs. One is I want us to see that some Proverbs are restated. They are restated. Now, you might call these modern Proverbs or maybe a modern version of a proverb. We want to look at some of the ways these are restated today. For example, let's look at Proverbs 21 and verse 9. 21 and verse 9. The Bible says, who can say, excuse me, I'm reading the wrong one already. Let me get back to my place. Here we go. Verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, there's other proverbs that kind of have that same theme. Let's see if you skip over to verse 19. I think it's a very similar proverb. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. And there's some others you may have in your notes there if you have a reference Bible. And so here's a proverb that has been believed and carried through the years and restated in modern times. People say it like this today. When mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Right? I see some smiles out there. Some of you heard that. Now, there's also been another restatement of this proverb, seems like in recent years. And so our younger folks may relate to this one that says, happy wife, happy life, right? These two verses are touching on that. You have to get along in relationships, especially in your marriage. And so it's good not to provoke one another. Amen? And these are modern restatements of that proverb in Proverbs 21. Look at verse 23. Proverbs 21. Look at verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from what? Troubles. Oh, James talks about that, how that our mouth, our tongue, can get us in trouble, can cause our flesh to sin, is what James said. So very, very truly stated there. This modern proverb has been restated. You probably heard it like this. Silence is golden. Silence is golden. It is. There are many reasons for that. Reasons why you would appreciate silence or maybe enjoy it, have some serenity or quiet moments. And so, you know, the Bible says even the fool, when he holdeth his peace, is considered to be wise, right? So there's great wisdom in that. Then look at verse 3. This is Proverbs 22. Turn the page, if you would, and look at verse 3 there. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. This is a great proverb. It's talking about discernment. The ability to see calamity before it happens. To know where something's going to lead and to be able to avoid that. And so it's great. If you have that, then you should appreciate it. It's a gift to be able to discern ahead of time and be able to avoid trouble that way. Not everyone can do that. Not everyone has developed the ability to do that. And so it doesn't just automatically happen. Well, you've probably heard the modern version, something like this. It's better to be safe than sorry. Or maybe you heard this statement, to err on the side of caution, right? They have the same idea, to stay away from the calamity. To, you know, because some people have the philosophy of life, it's kind of like that old coach driving. You probably heard the coach driver joke. They were interviewing for a coach driver, wanted to see who was the best, who could drive this coach the best, right? And the man who owned the coach, he was interviewing for the job, and instead of having a conversation, he wanted them to actually drive the coach. And there was one place in the road where it went around this cliff, you know, and there was this drop-off. And so he wanted to see how they could handle the team on this dangerous part of the road. And the first couple of drivers, you know, man, they just tried to see how close they could get to the edge without going over. They were trying to impress the owner so they could get the job. And the last of the interviewees, you know, he went around that curve, and when it was his turn, well, he hugged the mountainside. He stayed far away from the edge. And so the owner said, I'm hiring you. And they were like, well, how come? You know, man, we were daring, and we were showing all of this skill and courage to get close to the edge and not go over. And he said, if I'm riding in this coach, I don't want to see how close to the edge I can get without going over. I want to make sure my life is preserved, and I prefer the guy who's going to hug the mountainside. And so what was he saying? Better to err on the side of caution, right? He was saying it's better to be safe than sorry. He was saying that it's good when you can look ahead and foresee the evil. The prudent man foresees the evil and then hides himself. What does he do? He stays away from the danger. Why take that risk, right? And especially when you have such precious commodity. Look at chapter 23, if you will, and look at verse 17 there. The next chapter, verse 17, and let's read a couple of verses. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. You know, Proverbs makes a lot of comparisons between the righteous and the wicked, and what's going on in life and all of that. And we know one day we're going to, you know, the accounts are going to be settled one day. One day we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to know who was on the right path, and we're going to know what was worth it and all of that. You know, and it's better not to try to make that judgment down here unless you're doing it from a biblical perspective. So the proverb that we're looking at tonight has been restated like this, and this is a group of them. I guess this comes directly, maybe we could say directly from verse 18. Surely there is an end, right? And we've heard it restated like this. It ain't over till it's over, right? It ain't over till it's over. I think of Psalm 73 and how Asaph, the psalmist, was looking at people in life and just envying the wicked and thinking, boy, they have everything they want and life's going great and they're having a good time and living it up. But he said, then I went into the sanctuary of God, and he said, then I understood their end. Man, you know, hey, listen, for the lost crowd that's living it up and doing all everything they want and all of that, listen, this is the only heaven they're going to get. If they have all the fun in the world and they miss Jesus, this is as good as it gets for them. And the psalmist said, when I went into the house of God, he said, I understood that. His perspective was corrected. And his vision was restored, and he was able to see realistically what the end looks like. So remember, it ain't over till it's over. Don't prejudge some of the things you see in life. Then Proverbs 24 and verse 10, here's our next proverb restated. Some of these that get restated in life. Proverbs 24, verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I've heard it said like this, maybe you've heard another version. But it's been restated as, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. The test of your character is what it takes to stop you. It's a great remembrance of the proverb that we're reading here. And we don't want to fail in the day of adversity. You know, these proverbs being kind of restated in people's own words, I think that's a wonderful thing. I think it shows that, you know what, people get these. They understand the truth behind the message of these particular proverbs, and they're reapplying it to their life as they see things happen in real time. And, you know, that's what we want to do with all the Word of God. We want to take our understanding of the message of the Bible and the Christian life, and then we want to be able to interpret and apply it to everyday situations as we live. And I think the reflection of these modern proverbs shows that in real life, and I'm glad to see them. I hope you are. I hope they've helped you, and if they haven't, I hope you wrote them down so that you can go back over them again. These are proverbs that have been restated. But you know, some proverbs aren't restated, they're just repeated. They're repeated tonight. Let's look at a few of those. Go back to Proverbs 22. Look at verse 1. I've heard this one repeated. People remember that this is in the Bible. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. So what does it tell us? Well, they just repeat this one. Talks about a good name. I'm glad this is repeated still. I'm glad people still remember this proverb. You know, it tells us that there's some things in life that money can't buy. There's some things that are more valuable than our bank account and our financial portfolio, like your character, your reputation, your testimony. These are important things. And if you want to, especially if you want to serve God, you know, then it matters what people think about you. It matters who you are and what you become in your life. And so we want to think about that. A good name. How about this one? Proverbs 22, and look at verse 6. Proverbs that are repeated even today. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I'm glad that people are clinging to a proverb. This is one of those, what you call, proverbs with promise. Now, by the way, proverbs, and even a proverb like this that's considered to be promising, it's not a guarantee. There are exceptions to every rule. And Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is not making promises. All right? So we can't read a verse like that and think that no one would ever go astray from the truth. It happens, doesn't it? But it does give us some direction, and it gives us some courage to know that when you raise somebody in the truth, listen, it stays with them. It stays with them. Now, look, they may get out of line, and sometimes people do that, don't they? Sometimes people waver. They wobble a little bit. They do that because they got to find their place, like a pendulum. Sometimes people swing over and they try things, they experience things, and then they come back like that pendulum, swing back where they belong, and they realize, oh, this is why I was raised a certain way. This is why I was taught these things. And they begin to embrace that. And look, that's a powerful thing because they're doing it now by experience and by conviction. It's not just an idea anymore. It's personal. It's real. And, you know, that's what you want for anyone. You want their convictions to be real. And they're not going to be real till they're personal. Now, I wish sometimes people didn't have to go experience things, you know, for it to be real. But if that's what it takes, I think they'll be better in the long run when they come back. And they'll be stronger because they'll stand on the truth with conviction. And that's a great thing. Look at Proverbs 23, and let's look at verses 13 and 14. We talk about train up a child in the way he should go. It says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, those are strong words, and it almost sounds abusive in our culture today to hear words framed like that. But that's not what God intends in his word. I think we all know that. Anyone studying the Bible knows God's not for abuse. But God is for punishment when it's needed. There's a time and place for that, right? And there's a level of intensity. And by the way, there's a line you don't cross. And so all that's another message. I don't have time to flesh all that out tonight, but you know, if you've studied the Bible any length of time, you probably know those parameters already. Just keep that in mind when you read words that sound harsh. Remember, you know, our God is, he's a loving God. Now, he's also firm, and God is just, and God will deal out punishment when it's due. This world's going to find that out one day. You know, I think we've done a little bit of a disgrace to the world by overemphasizing the love of God and not talking as much about the holiness of God and the justice and righteousness of God. I think this world has it out of balance now. And it's sad because now they think that a loving God will do no judgment. Well, that's just not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible will execute judgment when it's time. Thank the Lord we're in the day of grace and during this church age where the mercy of God endures and he's long-suffering. Brother Brennan and I were talking about this morning how long-suffering he is with us. And, you know, we see people in our day who who seem to be testing the long-suffering of God, but you know, we rejoice that God is long-suffering. By the way, he's not just long-suffering with them. He's long-suffering with us. Just look in the mirror if you want to see the long-suffering of God. We all benefit from that today, and we should be long-suffering with our children. We should be willing to mete out punishment when it's due, and we need to know when that is. And then, of course, we need to know where that line is where you don't cross, right? Train up a child is the proverb that they repeat still today. One more time, Proverbs 24 and verse 16, a proverb that gets repeated. Proverbs 24, look at verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You know, what's really amazing about this is the guy just keeps getting back up. He falls seven times, but it says he gets up again. The key word there is again. Now, if it's seven times, that means again and again and again, right? And after seven times, it says again. In other words, he just keeps getting up, keeps getting up. And, you know, if you want, you could cross-reference that with Joshua 1:8, and you could write success out next to that. People think failure and success are two opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're really not. The path to success is paved with failure. And it looks like this. The ones who succeed are the ones who keep getting back up, getting back up, getting back up. Right? And they keep trying. It doesn't mean they keep doing the same things. Obviously, they learn from their fall and from their failures. And when they adapt and adjust, eventually they land upon success because they find what works. And that's a great characteristic that we can emulate today. The just man falleth seven times. You know, people like these proverbs about good name and about raising your kids and about getting back up. People like these, and they remember them. And these proverbs get repeated, and so it's wonderful. It reminds us that people remember the Bible and believe God's word and sometimes even hold on to some of these proverbs. We call them proverbs with promise. How wonderful that is. Now, sadly, we're going to close with this. We're going to see a list of proverbs that that some people reject. Some people restate certain proverbs. Some people repeat others. And these are the ones that it seems like people reject. They just don't want to hear these in our day. And so let's look at a few of them. Proverbs 21. We'll go back. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. Notice it says there, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Oh, they say, man, no, don't say that. Why? Well, you know, it seems that a few generations ago, the emphasis was on character and being strong and tough. But it seems like today the emphasis is on comfort and convenience. It's not on toughness, not on character, it's not on strength at all. People want to be successful without being strong. They want to accomplish without the challenge. They it's like this verse says, they love pleasure. They love comfort. We were talking about this morning. I forget the point of our conversation, but we were just comparing how things were and then how they are now. For example, years ago, you'd never go out in public and see somebody in their pajamas. What? That didn't happen. But nowadays, there's people that don't bat an eye about that. And they'll be out shopping in public, and you can tell. They look like they just rolled out of bed. Now, if you were raised with some character and all of that kind of thing, you were taught that's not appropriate. You'd never think to do that. But for someone else, hey, they... Why? Because it's comfortable. Because it feels good. Right? Because they like the feeling of those of that attire and those shoes or whatever, even if they're slippers. I've seen it. And it's interesting. So what does the Bible say? He that loveth pleasure, right? But what do people, how do they respond to that? They say, well, but you got to have fun. You got to enjoy life. Sure, that's true too. But, you know, you got to strike a balance. You can't just go over in the ditch of having fun all the time and never having any character or never putting in the work. And so that's a dangerous one. How about this one? Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 in verse 10, it says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Cast out the scorner. Well, some people look at that today and say, whoa, oh, that's harsh. You're mean. Wait, I'm mean. What about the scorner? Don't you think the scorner's mean? Sure. They say, well, can we talk about that? Can we negotiate this? Maybe there's another way. Don't like to cast out the scorner. Don't like to deal out the judgment. Sometimes you have to do that. And the Bible tells us why. You want the strife to cease? You want the contention to go away? Well, you got to stop the source. And that's how you address that. How about this one? Proverbs 22, look at verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Oh, and people say, that's cruel. Right? The modern response to that, well, the preacher, there are other ways of dealing with that. You know, hey, I understand there's other ways, and you might try some other things. Like I said, there's a time and place for correction, for corporal punishment, and you just have to know when that time is. Because if you try an alternate form of punishment at the wrong time, you're not going to get the result you want. I remember hearing a preacher talk about that. He said, I was growing up under the stars and stripes. He said, my dad furnished the stripes and I saw the stars. He said, but kids nowadays, he said, you know, their parents have been reading Dr. Spock. And he said, you know, he teaches stuff like, well, if that's what your kid needs to do, well, you know, if he needs to get frustration out, well, if he needs to throw a brick through the window to get his frustration out, well, you just let him throw the brick. Somebody's going to be buying a lot of windows. I don't think I subscribe to that. Amen? But there are people who do, you know, and what are they saying? Well, they're saying, they don't want to follow this proverb of the rod of correction. They don't want to spank their children. God is telling us there's a time for that, right? And, of course, there ought to be a reason. I like James Dobson had a good rule of thumb on that. He said, we spank for direct disobedience. You know, as parents, you are leaders. And if you lead your children well and you inform them and communicate, they know the rules well ahead of time, and they choose to openly disobey, you make that very clear, okay? Then when they do that, now you're at a point where you can say, now's the time for some correction. You sit them down, you explain it all, and you handle that correction in the right spirit. Don't ever do it in anger. And you make it appropriate. And if you do it right, guess what? You're always going to have your kids come back. I know every time I've had to deal with mine, they've always come back and hugged me and thanked me for taking time to teach them and talk to them. I've even had my kids' friends tell my kids that they like the way I discipline. Now, I never did it in front of them. I guess they talked about it. I don't know how they know. But I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting that your kids' friends would say, man, I liked it. I like the way they do that. You know, it's God's way. It's not my way. I didn't invent this. God knows what we need. He knows our kids better than we do. He knows their nature, and He knows how to get the response, the results, the character that we want to get from them later when they grow up. And so the Lord tells us how to do that. All right, how about the next one? Proverbs 22, look at verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man and with a furious man. Thou shalt not go. Make no friendship. People say, well, that sounds exclusive, right? Cutting people off. No, no. They say, don't do that. Well, we understand, you know, there's other kind of sayings that would go along and support what God has to say here. But He's talking about cutting off the wrong influences in your life so that you don't become like them. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes it's the wise thing to do. All right, and then Proverbs 23, look at verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Think about that. Labor not to be rich. People say, yeah, but we always got another way and a better idea. But your idea is not better than God's idea. Now look, if you do something and you become rich, then hey, good for you. That's wonderful. God's just trying to say, don't run around and get hooked on riches. Don't run around and do crazy things for riches all the time. Don't let that be your motive. Don't make that the goal of your work. If it happens, great. Right? But if not, you're going to be greatly disappointed. If riches are your goal instead of profit, the Bible says in all labor there is profit. Okay, it's okay to work for profit. We should. That's the reason why we work. By the way, that's why communism doesn't work. When you take away a man's profit to give to someone who doesn't work, you ruin the incentive of the worker. And eventually they will quit. The system will collapse. It's the nature of man. None of us will work for nothing. Nobody will do that long term. So you have to allow incentive to thrive and to grow. God understands that. He knows our nature. He made us. And so we find that we need to have the right motive in our work. Labor not to be rich. Now, you probably saw that news flash on your phone this week. Well, one of the jackpots has hit so-and-so millions. I don't even remember the number. Hey, you need to remember that every time you see that, that's that many losers. That's that many losers in that system. So if you jump in, guess what? You're probably just going to be one of them. I read the article and it said, yeah, but your chances of winning are still like 1 in 300 million. I thought, whoa, what odds, right? Labor not to be rich, God says. Don't spend all your money on that. Proverbs 23 and verse 12, notice it says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply your heart. Get busy. Do the right thing. Work hard. Apply your heart, he says. You know, the modern reaction to that is, yeah, maybe tomorrow. Yeah, I'll do it later. We just want to put that off. You know, it seems that we're trying to do everything but work hard. I watched a podcast, but they were videoing it lately, and they were on the topic of work. And there was a man there who had been successful in his work. And so the interviewer asked him, he said, what do you think about hard work, about working hard? You know, that old work ethic. How important is that in being successful and getting rich and making it and all this kind of stuff? And so they were talking about that topic. And I thought, boy, the guy that answered the questions, even though he had some good things to say and he made a point, he didn't take the opportunity to encourage you to have a good work ethic and to work hard. Actually, his message was the opposite. He said, often in business, it doesn't really matter how hard you work. Now, he didn't mean do nothing and be lazy. He was just saying, you know, the guys that put in all the extra time, he said, there's a season of time in your business when you should do that, but he said, you shouldn't do that all the time. Well, that makes sense. But I thought he really wasn't clear about saying, hey, hard work is good, and it does pay off in the end. he was more clarifying, trying to say, maybe he was trying to prevent people from getting burnt out. I'm not really sure what his motive was behind that. But I thought it was interesting, the approach he took. And it seems like this world lately has that attitude of, yeah, maybe later. Let's skip that. Is there a shortcut? God says we have to apply ourselves. If you want to find wisdom, if you want to be smart, if you want to be wise, if you want to succeed, you have to put in the work. You have to apply yourself. Now, it's true. It's true that you can work very hard and not achieve the results you want. But usually that's not because you didn't work hard enough. It's usually because there's something else you didn't know. There's some ingredient you missed and you didn't include that. And you have to find out what that is. And then lastly tonight, let's look at Proverbs 24. Look at verse 11 and 12, if you would. We're talking about proverbs that have been rejected. Notice Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12. We'll close with these. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Hey, these two verses are powerful. And as I close with these tonight, I can't help but think about the current debate, the political debate that's going on about life in our country right now. And I can't help but be very concerned at the great number of people who don't value human life, who are ready to get behind somebody that wants to unlock the door and leave the gate open to eliminating human life on demand. It's unthinkable, but it's happening. We've gone that far in our country. What a shame. That's what happens when we get away from God and His Word. When we get away from the moral fiber and the character that our country once held to. And so we've drifted a long way. But look what God says in His Word. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Hey, God's watching. God is watching. And there is a rightful place for those who are trying to hold the line on abortion, who are trying to limit and restrict when and how that happens. It's appropriate, and they should do so according to the Bible. It's right to stand up for life and to step in. But you know, people reject that today. You know what they want to say? What? Who, me? Am I my brother's keeper? They want to say, that's not my responsibility. That's between them. That's between her and I know there's times when it should be between them. But that's not what people are asking for, is it? It's not the exceptions they're talking about. They want unrestricted access anytime they want to pull the plug on life. I just can't see that from a biblical perspective. A hard time, but I remember from this morning's message that there are people who will okay it and quote Scripture while they do. And they will act like God's totally okay with that when He's really not. These two verses, they remind us that God is watching. He that pondereth the heart, doesn't He consider it? Oh yeah, He certainly does. You know, may God help us do our part. And as we look at the wisdom book of Proverbs, may we ask the Lord to give us wisdom in how we implement these in our daily life so that we can develop and learn discernment, so that we can apply these things and live them out in such a way that pleases God and is a blessing to our society and the world we live in. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, how we love You tonight, how we thank You so much for these wonderful truths. Proverbs, Lord, as they're called in your word, these little statements of wisdom, these little nuggets of truth that remind us to do the right thing. Lord, I pray you just help us to learn from them, to glean the wisdom that we need, that we might have the discernment to apply them to our lives, that we might be better because of what we learn in this great book of the Bible. We pray, Lord, you just teach us and help us, Lord. Challenge us with these things. Bring them back to our remembrance in the real moments of life when we need to put them into action. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.